Now on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, this is Sports and Faith.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Sports and Faith on WSFI 88.5. I'm Mark Curran, Sheriff of Lake County, and your host today. And with me is Chip Beck, a 2016 inductee into the Sports Faith Hall of Fame. Welcome, Chip.
Thank you for having me. Nice to be inducted into such a nice group of people.
Well, we're blessed to have you and looking forward to the day. It's going to be a great, just a couple Saturdays away now.
That's correct.
Chip, I want to start from the beginning. You grew up in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Could you tell us what that was like?
Well, I come from a large Catholic family. I have seven sisters and two brothers, and my mom and dad were wonderful Catholics. And what was interesting, when they came to Fayetteville, there were really only about 50,000 people in the city and not many Catholics in Fayetteville, North Carolina. So it was mostly a Baptist community. So they've seen the whole area now. That Fayetteville now has one of the largest Catholic churches in the state. So it's a very Catholic area now, which has been, I think, just good people. And my mom and dad setting good example as well. They really were part of that great growth.
So where'd you learn the game of golf?
I learned it right up the street. My dad was a local dentist, and he was a North Carolinian. And my mom and I, she knew I was really an active kid. She wanted me to get going. So she signed me up for a clinic that morning, fell in love with it. And
how old were you?
I've played ever since.
How old were you?
I was 10 years old.
Wow, would you start?
So that was a great day. I remember exactly where I was, the first shot I hit, and what it felt like. It's kind of fascinating. That's how much I fell in love with it.
Did you work at a golf course or anything like that?
Well, I was fortunate in the respect that I could play golf every day at the local country club. And growing up in a small town in North Carolina, it was only a few thousand dollars to join the club, and so it was really a nice experience to play with all my friends. So we had about 15 guys get Division I scholarships out of that club.
Wow.
So, oh yeah, Tony Evans was a great pro, and he really mentored a lot of us kids.
Kind of the Harvey Pennock of North Carolina, huh?
Yeah, Tony was really good and a great man. He was a deacon at his church as well.
Wow.
So
when did you get good?
Well, it took me a little bit of time. I remember in that summer, Ray Floyd came to help his dad have the grand opening of Cypress Lakes Golf Course. And I was fortunate enough to go watch Raymond, and he brought Jack Nicklaus in for an exhibition. I remember following them into the clubhouse, and I remember Raymond Floyd giving me 30 brand new Wilson Staff golf balls, and I kept his signature above my bed until I went to college. And so they were my inspirational leaders, so to speak. I knew that day, gosh, that's what I'd like to do. I'd like to do what these guys do.
Right.
And so I pursued it, and I never looked back. That's what I really wanted to do.
So you wound up going to the University of Georgia.
I did. Great experience for me, too. I was able to start right out and play. And initially I was kind of upset because I didn't get a scholarship at the University of North Carolina. But it worked out really, really well for me because I was able to play. I became All-American down there, first-team All-American a couple years, and it really got me going.
In beautiful golf courses in Georgia.
Well, we had probably one of the best university courses in the country, which was really nice.
Right.
And yeah, it was wonderful. It was a great experience. Coach Copas was a great man. He's still a great friend of mine, so made a lot of friends down there.
So, Chip, you're driving your wife to the airport right now. Tell us a little bit of how that romance began.
Well, I was really fortunate to have met my wife. I'd had a tough experience going through a divorce, and she saved my life, really. I didn't know if I'd ever be happy again. You lose everything in divorce, everything that's dear to you. So when she came into my life changed, and I had a great experience with the Ryder Cup experiences, and we just had four children together. And I couldn't imagine a better life. So I'm really fortunate. So thank you, Angel.
Beautiful. So what year did y'all get married?
In 89, we got married. So we've been married quite a while now.
That's excellent. So you're coming up on 27 years.
Yeah, and what's interesting, my game skyrocketed when I met her, which is kind of fascinating. Golf is like that.
Right.
It's an emotional game, and it's a game that you're subject to your emotions. It's subject to your emotions and your good feelings, so it's nice when it just came so naturally.
I remember listening to Ben Crenshaw's wife had him served with divorce papers the weekend he won the Masters for the first time. So God has a way of giving us grace when we need it most.
Absolutely. It's quite fascinating, isn't it?
Yes. So, Chip, you got four kids.
Six.
Total of
two from a previous marriage.
Six kids total.
From my first marriage.
Tell us a little bit about what did the raising of the kids as two Catholic parents, one of whom is a pro golfer.
My wife always says that for the children, the lifestyle is really pretty fantastic because they get exposed to so much. I mean, they've been to Japan, Australia. They know where Disney World is, Disneyland is. They've been able to take great trips. So it's really wonderful for the children. I think it's more challenging for the parents because the wife does a lot of the work, and she does a lot of the, she has to be very independent and a self-starter. And so that really, it makes it challenging for relationships, but I think it's just a matter of coming down to commitment. And like Father Barron says, love is an act of the will. It's not something that just falls off trees.
Our listeners love that you just quoted Father Barron. He's one of our favorites.
He's a great man. He loves to play golf, too. If you invite him to give us a speech of some sort, have a good round of golf at one of your great golf courses, and he'll be as happy as a clam.
Well, he gets to play Riviera now, maybe. He's out in Los Angeles.
Yeah, probably some of the other nice ones, too.
So let me ask you, with regards to your faith, when did you, were you always serious about it, or did it happen at some point in time?
When I was 15, I was in Salisbury, North Carolina, and I was playing in the Carolinas Junior, which was the big tournament at the time. And I was staying by myself, and I just felt I needed God's help. And I remember praying at that time and praying for God's guidance and his help and help me to do well. And you know, that's where it really started. I had a good tournament, and you just become dependent on God's goodness and his grace. Thank goodness I had that experience. I try to teach my children that. There's always a time in your life where you get to a point where you know you can't do it alone, so you have to really rely on God's strength.
You were serious about your faith from 15 on.
Well, I think you learned that from your parents.
Yeah.
And we took trips. We'd say our prayers in the car before we left. We'd say a family prayer. We always had meals together. Yeah, we were a prayerful family, and that's what I'm saying. I think good example from your parents. And also, my parents were loving to one another and were so helpful to each and every one of us. My mother emotionally was always there. My mom and dad, they never bailed out on us or felt like we were too much for them. It was our life and we loved it. And you learn great strength of character and emotional health in that process of watching your parents.
Right.
I still gain strength from my dad. My dad's passed now. I think he was probably the most dependable and reliable person I'd ever known. I'd like to be that way for my family.
Right. That's you're unique in a little, in some sense. You had that faith early. I mean, I went to the Catholic schools my whole life and went to a Catholic college and played a little bit of golf while I was in college. I made it to Mass when it was convenient, drank a lot of beer, and that probably affected not getting any better at golf. So your foundation might have helped you at an early age.
Well, I think it helps everybody. I mean, a lot of people in our society don't have good examples and good role models. I mean, I remember my daughter went to Sacred Heart School, and 25% of the children had a traditional family with a mother and a father. So 75% of the children were from broken families or living with grandparents or whatever it might be. So I was very fortunate in that respect.
Yeah.
And so what you learn through families is that even in the brokenness sometimes or the issues and the problems that come, you're still family and you're still loving to one another, and you embrace that, and that's what makes you strong, and that's what makes your life complete.
Right.
I know my wife now is from a large Catholic family and from Chicago, and she had great examples. And in both of our families, when you have that many people, I mean, my mother has 35 grandchildren, so it's just you're always going to have people that stray from the faith, get into trouble, have issues, and that's when the family can rally around them and help them and bring them back to the faith and show them a good example of what Christ's love is. So that's the way we live, and that's we've been fortunate to have that in our life.
That's a beautiful thing. So let me ask you this. This is you went to the University of Georgia, and they had a – I've been down there to Athens for football games. I mean, it's an awesome place. There's a Catholic church I know right across the street from the main
– Yeah, it's run by the Franciscans. And I'll never forget, the Franciscan priest was so good to me, and it helped me a lot through college. And I really – I was fortunate. It was a stone's throw from my dorm, which made it great. And even my son John has gone to the Catholic Center down there. We went to school at Georgia, and I think the Catholic Center was really helpful for him as well. So, yeah, that was a very nice experience to have that.
Beautiful. So, Chip, one of the things we're going to take a break shortly, but I want to talk to you about is you play golf on the PGA Tour Thursday to Sunday, and you have no idea when it ends. Do these Catholics out there, do they get to Mass, and how do they do it? And secondly, because of the solitary nature of golf, you see at the end of football games where people come together and pray. And I know that the Bears, they have a Catholic Mass before the game, and they have an evangelical service as well. How about golfers? I mean, how is the faith interwoven on the PGA Tour for those that really want it? I know that you hear about, like, Tom Lehman is an evangelical and what have you, but you don't hear too much about the faith.
What happens on tour is you have a lot of Catholics that are evangelicals, and they run the Bible study. And so there's a lot of that. But a lot of the Catholics, fortunately for us, we have masses at different times, and that makes it really convenient for us. So there's no excuse for not getting a mass.
So you can get to Mass every tournament stop if you want to?
Generally speaking, you can.
That's a beautiful thing. Chip, I think we're going to take a break right now. We'll be right back.
Don't miss the 2016 Sports Faith Hall of Fame induction ceremonies on Saturday, May 14th of Pentecost weekend, beginning with Holy Mass at the Church of St. Mary's in Lake Forest, Illinois at 5 o'clock p.m., followed by dinner and the Hall of Fame induction at the Deer Path Inn. This year's list of honorees includes Chip Beck, Ziggy Zarabsky, Lauren Hill, Nick Rassus, Bill Wennington, and many more virtuous athletes, coaches, and teams. For more information or to purchase tickets, call 224-206-8455. That's 224-206-8455. Or visit us online at wsfiradio.com. Did you know you can listen to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio online? Visit WSFICatholicRadio.org and click on Listen Live. That's WSFICatholicRadio.org and click on Listen Live.
Are you retired or near retirement? Do you want to keep a larger amount of your assets in a safe place with guaranteed interest rates to protect yourself from a huge market swing? Are you amazed at how low the interest rates are at your bank? If you said yes to any or all of those questions, you may want to call me, Matt Tomlinson, at Catholic Financial Life to discuss our guaranteed fixed rate annuities. Call 847-548-MATT, 847-548-6288. Products not available in all states.
Are you enjoying this WSFI local program and want to share it with others? Visit WSFICatholicRadio.org and click on Listen, then Programming. That's WSFI Catholic Radio, Listen, then Programming.
We're back again with Chip Beck. Chip, glad to have you back again. By the way, your birth name was Charles Henry Beck. And I know down south you all have nicknames, so how did Chip come?
Well, I'm a junior. I'm a chip off the old block. I've been Chip my whole life.
Gotcha.
So that's pretty common.
Right. Chip, we were talking before, and you indicated there's a lot of opportunities to practice your faith while on tour. And nice to know, because even people that follow the tour very regularly, like myself, always had those questions.
What's nice about the tour is I would always organize my hotel close to the church, a lot of times within walking distance. I would meet the priest. I would go offer tickets to the golf tournament to the local priest. A lot of priests like to play golf, and they like, if they don't play golf, they'll give the tickets to the parishioners. So I've met a lot of priests throughout the country, stayed a lot of rectories, and it's really nice to be around holy men that enjoy golf. I've stayed with Father Beck out in San Antonio, so I've met so many nice priests, and that strengthens your faith as well.
That's beautiful that you look after our priests, because they do make such sacrifices. So thank you for doing that.
It's a blessing.
Just quickly, could you tell us some other Catholics that you're able to share your faith with out there on tour?
Well, I'll never forget Jackie Cochran. I'd go to 7:30 Mass, and there she would be with all her boys. Russ had early tea time or whatever, and I'd see her. I thought that was always. I said, Jackie, you're earning your stripes.
Yeah.
That's why you're going to go to heaven. So, you know, it's not as prevalent where you see a lot of group of Catholics going to church, because they go at different times. And we, like I said, I might go Saturday in the evening or even Sunday night or Sunday morning. So it all depended on your schedule. Everybody's schedule was so different.
Russ Cochran, a good left-handed golfer that had a little period of greatness. I wanted to talk to you about golf. In one of the old sayings about golf is, and I think we've seen this even with Tiger Woods now, is that nobody owns golf. You can borrow it for a little while. And that's essentially meaning that you're going to be on top of this game maybe if you're lucky for a period of time, maybe brief, maybe longer, but you'll never always be on top in golf.
That's right. You just accept what you have through golf, and I think that's one of the great wonders of the game. It keeps you humble because you don't own it. But I think that's also like the beauty of the beast. It teaches you the right values in life to accept and to be gracious and have gratitude for what you receive through golf. So that's a great experience when you live through golf, because it's changing all the time. And Mother Nature is very difficult to harness, and so many things affect you in golf, from the wind to you can get your ball in a soft grouping of sand and can make double bogey. So you have all kinds of things that aren't just, and crazy things happen to you that you have no control over. So you have to have a faith, I think, that guides you and lets you realize that God is with you. That's the way I always looked at it, so you don't stress over the small things and all the little nuances that happen.
So, Chip, let me take you through your career. You got your card back in 1988, right?
Well, I actually had my card.
Oh, 78, amen. I'm sorry.
78. I got out of school and finished second in the qualifying school, lost my card, and then got it back the next year, finished second again, and really never looked back. Until I was much older.
You had your card essentially consistently from 1980 all the way into the 90s.
Oh, yes.
And 1988, you were the Varden winner, which, as you could tell the listeners, you had the lowest scoring average on tour, right?
I did, 1988. I sure did.
So what is that year like? What is it like from a spiritual perspective? What is it like from what's going on?
Well, I think at that time, you probably have as many problems as you ever have is when you're fighting to be number one in the world. Because people that are disappointed with you or are different than you are, they'll come out of the woodwork to try to pull you down. So yeah, I think that it's like in any phase or any activity, when people see you doing well, there's a lot of jealousy and a lot of issues that come with that. So yeah, you have to have a real strong faith and the ability to move beyond all that.
Did you feel that you were suspect to any of the trappings of that? I mean, do you walk around thinking I'm a big shot or what have you, or do you feel like you were able to stay pretty grounded through that?
It's a lot of fun to be playing your best golf and moving in a real strong direction with your game. There's nothing better than that. And I think sometimes you think it's going to last forever, and that's a lot of the exuberance of youth. But as you grow, you realize that that's a pipe dream. You make mistakes, and you pick yourself up, and you move forward, right?
Yes. Some of the things that when you say going down a little bit and that it's not going to last, you had moments of that even when you were at your height. 1986, you came in second in the U.S. Open, our national championship, so you had a chance to win it. In 1993, you had a real good chance to win the Masters. For the green jacket, for those that follow golf, is such a pinnacle. And to have gone to the University of Georgia and to be in that position and then to not win it. Tell me what happens in your mind and in spiritual struggles that might come with that.
What was interesting about the Masters is that my game was never suited to the golf course because I played a low fade. And when you play a low fade, you can't play there. You have to play a hook or a right-to-left shot. And if you're my size, you really have to hit that hook. And so I had to learn to hit a hook to have a chance to win that golf tournament. And so it was a great achievement for me to turn my game around and actually go around aiming corner with a chance to win. What was really kind of sad about it is people don't realize the challenges of that golf course for the average person. It's usually a long hitter's paradise, and they give them so much with length. So even in our day, length was, there weren't that many people that could really compete there because you're such at a disadvantage if you had average length. That's why most people that were my size, they really liked the U.S. Open. Because if you drove the ball 250 yards in the middle of the fairway, you could compete. But at Augusta, you couldn't do that. So anyways, turning my game around was really pretty amazing. And then I think Ken Venturi called me a coward because I laid up at 15, and that really hurt me emotionally. So it took me a while to get over that one. But
yeah,
when people start assassinating your character,
right,
boy, that's when it really hurts.
Right.
That's just golf. So thank goodness I didn't have a whole lot of that in my career.
What would be your favorite golf course in the world?
I would say Pebble would be.
Pebble Beach.
And then Pebble Beach. It was a great golf course.
So,
it's still ranked in the top 20 hardest golf courses in the world, too, or in the United States. I like the coastal courses like Harbortown and up there.
Hilton Head,
and,
yeah.
Hilton Head.
Yeah.
That's a really fun place.
Yeah.
And a good golf course.
So
the coastal courses make it more challenging with the wind and the weather, so always like that.
Are there golf courses in heaven?
Do you think they'll have a golf course in heaven? Well, sure they will. Why wouldn't they?
Right. Do you feel close? Is there any place, other than with your wife, is there any place on earth where you feel closer to heaven than on a golf course?
Oh, man, sure.
Your wife
well,
and kids.
The Eucharist is the best place, right? The pinnacle, like Father Barron says, is the pinnacle of the Christian life.
I'm with you.
So.
The dew.
I know you're teasing.
The dew in the morning and the sun dropping on a golf course. It's a way to marvel at God.
I was telling Tom Watson, we were playing one time really early on Sunday morning, and I said, Tom, isn't it great to play? It's such a beautiful morning. He said, Chip, I prefer to play late in the afternoon. I said, I got it.
Yeah.
So that was pretty funny.
Hey, Chip, let me ask you this.
Friend of mine.
So you came back after you lost your game. I don't know if you lost your game because it's all relative, but you lost your card for a little bit. There was a struggling period. What was that like for your faith? And eventually you had a bounce back. You did well on the senior tour, what have you. Can you talk to us about that and how that relates, how your faith helped you get through that?
The great thing about when I went into my slump and my poor play, it actually allowed me to be home more. And so my children got to really know who I am as a person. And that was very helpful for my children. And so that was probably the blessing in disguise with that.
Chip, could you just tell us a little bit about the scholarship that you've been at the forefront of?
When I shot 59, I actually had the opportunity.
How could I forget? I didn't even ask you about it. One of, what, four people in history, right?
Yeah, so that was kind of a nice experience in the respect that Hilton Hotels was given $1 million to the first guy that shot 59 that year. And so we started a scholarship with the PGA Tour and the PGA of America, along with the Evan Scholar Foundation. So we've had 44 scholars go through the program and get their scholarships and college education.
You shot you were the second guy in his, Al Geiberger and then you, right?
That's right. I mean, it was kind of funny because at the end of the year in 1990, my wife was sitting there with the tour year-end meeting and some of the tour officials and some of the people who worked for the tour at our table. And Eric Kilton was sitting next to me, and he said, "Hey, Chip, did you know we're giving $1 million to the first guy that shoots 59? And my wife kind of tapped me under the table and said, "Chip, you're going to get that." And Eric heard it. So I said, "Eric, I promise you this. When you're offering that, somebody will get it, because every time I've seen Don Pooley hole a one iron at the 17th hole at Bay Hill, where there's only probably a foot to land it in where you could actually make it with a one iron." And so I said, "Miracles happen all the time." And I said, "Good things will happen with that." And I said, "That's really nice you did it." So, you know, as it turned out, we started our foundation that year, the Sacred Heart Foundation, and I knew we were going to fund it off my good play. So when I had the opportunity, there was a golf course in Las Vegas, and I knew that was a course that we could shoot 59 on. I actually hadn't seen it. My caddy, Dave Woosley, had been around it, and I just followed his lead. He said, "Chip, hit it 230 down the left side, hit it here, keep it under the hole here." So he directed me through the course, and that was probably good because I didn't get ahead of myself. The one thing I wanted to do was not think about it until I actually had a chance to do it, which is generally the last putt. So as it turned out, I had about a short putt on the last hole to shoot it, and I don't think I could have made it if it were for my own personal use of the $1 million. I knew that money was going to fund our foundation. It was going to help us do a lot of good in our lives. So it kept me calm, and it kept me strong enough to step over that putt and make it. So that was the real blessing of it. And we've had so many wonderful experiences associated with that 59. I mean, the Getz family at the Merritt Club invited me to join their golf course with no fees and no, it's the nicest thing anybody's ever done. So I have a membership at their club, and I've enjoyed the Merritt Club for years now, with just paying for the use of the club. And it's nice when people are so generous to you. That's kind of the way that scholarship's been for me. I've received so much more. But the Western Golf Association really makes the scholarship very meaningful. It's the largest privately funded scholarship in the world. And it's just a great program for caddies, and it helps people really change their lives. So the great thing about my scholarship is we tried to take people whose lives were improved by golf, either immigrants that came in, their dad and mom might work at the country club, and they might be top of their class. You had to be top 25% of your class. There were lots of different qualifications to get the scholarship, but most of the people that we have are very successful in their schoolwork, and a lot of times their families have been really broken and really lots of issues, because most of the families today are broken, and families struggle with health issues and being able to afford when the father gets disabled, whatever. Their kids shine like shooting stars in their families, and so we've been able to help them, and there's nothing better than that. It actually brings tears to your eyes when you listen to and read some of their stories. So support the Western Golf Association. Yes. It's a great organization.
I agree, Chip. I was a caddy for more than a dozen years. Hey, let me ask you this, just to wrap it up. What are you doing now? You're down in Naples. What club are you with, and what are you doing down there?
I'm actually playing with prospective members at Gray Oaks, teaching and playing with the membership at Gray Oaks. It's a real nice club. It's the first time I've worked in the golf business, but I really like it.
So
it fits my personality. I enjoy the people. So I feel, believe it or not, I meet so many people and I work with so many different people. It gives you a sense of meaning, and you feel like Christ is working in and through you into the world that I can impact. So that's a real good feeling for me. I really like that.
So, Chip, let me ask you this. Any of our listeners that get down to Naples, they can look you up and take lessons potentially?
You know what?
It's strictly that club.
That would be a wonderful thing.
Oh, it would be good. Okay.
Mostly it's membership, but I'm sure if there's a way, there's a desire, we can make it happen, right?
Beautiful. Beautiful. Because our listeners will probably be interested in the thoughts of somebody that has your faith. Is it developing the whole perspective in terms of a golfer?
Call me and we'll go to dinner. How's that? That's a good way, and I'll give them a dinner lesson.
That'd be beautiful.
Much fun.
Chip, thank you so much. It's just been such an honor and a pleasure to talk with you. Really an impactful individual that you are, and God bless you, and I'm so glad that you have Karen and your 6 children in your life, because it really seems like it keeps you grounded.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mark.
You got it, Chip. Well, folks, that's all the time we have today. Don't miss this year's Sports Faith Hall of Fame banquet. Tickets are available at www.sportsfaithhalloffame.com.
For more information about sports and faith, visit WSFIRadio.org.